Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, you're half on the screen. We need to change this. There we go. Lovely. There we go. And that sums up the evening, doesn't it? I mean, we're barely ready for this, guys. The football was literally, and I mean literally, has just finished. Yep. We've just been watching the Spurs game. We missed, obviously, because it wasn't on TV here in the UK, a little bit of handbags from Mark Cucurella right at the end.
How can you get booked in the 95th minute and then get booked again in the 98th minute? What are you thinking, Mark?
Well, I'll tell you what's even more bonkers than that, Sam, is getting booked after the game finished, having a little bit of handbags. Ryan Aitnori, thank you very much. So,
well,
yes.
Yeah, but also, Ryan Aitnori, yes, mug. But Mateus Cunha, lucky boy. He should be getting a red card at the end of that game as well. Straight red.
At the moment, lucky boy, but I can't help but feel there is a bit of there'll be some retrospective on that. I mean, yeah, he's
not
good.
Yes, there will, Lee, but the point is that you are blimmin' lucky because they're not going to retrospectively do anything about it before the end of the game week.
Sure.
So you're going to get away with it.
Yeah, sure. Well,
you could have had two red cards in your team today.
If you want to talk about lucky game weeks, we can talk about lucky game weeks. There was some outrageous FPL stuff going on. Absolutely outrageous stuff going on.
He's not bitter about it at all.
Wow. Some of the decisions by FPL Towers this weekend blew my mind. But there was also some other stuff like the Bruno Fernandes 2 bonus points today on the back of what was frankly...
Thanks, Bruno.
His worst performance I've seen. What a weird Manchester derby that was. Absolutely dreadful game. And just it was punctuated by a moment of madness from... Who is it that passed that back that Ahmed then got onto? Oh, no, it was Nunes, wasn't it? Matthias Nunes is coming in and wiping out Ahmed. And it was very clever from Ahmed to sort of have a look over his shoulder and see Nunes come in. Mm. So, yeah, Bruno gets the penalty and 2 bonus points after playing absolute rubbish.
That's why you're big penalty takers, though, no?
Yeah, but it's just annoying, isn't it? It's annoying as non-Bruno owners.
I'm happy.
And then a moment of absolute magic from Ahmad for the second goal. So well taken, that second goal. We had us both out of our seats, didn't we? We were like, oh, yeah. Absolutely unreal.
We were.
And then, yeah, Pep and Man City back in the mud, not for the first time over the last few weeks, right?
It was his fault as well. Yeah. I don't know what to do, you think, with the exact words he said.
Yeah, one win now in 11 for Manchester City. One win in 11. But guys, thank you for joining us here tonight on FPL Family. It is... We've had no time, literally, to, like, the football... The pens have just gone down on the football.
The pens?
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, at the end of an exam, you know, pens and pencils down. Football's just finished for the evening. We'll get your reaction to Spurs in just a second.
Okay.
But we'll say hello to a few people first.
Oh yeah, let's.
Why, nice to see you. Just says Embuemo with the bang strength emoji. Yeah, fair play. If you held on to Embuemo, unlike me this week, and you had one last dance with Brian. I was sitting here last Sunday talking about I want one last dance with Brian Embuemo and not selling him ahead of his 13-pointer last game week. But I did sell him this week. So yes, a bad one for us Embuemo sellers. So well done, Y, if you held on to him. Well done. He also then goes on to say, Salah Kappas are the real winners. I don't know if there's any real winners on the captaincy front this week. Why, to be honest with you? Saka, Palmer, Salah, Haaland. What, one assist between all four of them?
I must admit, though, I mean, we'll talk about it more later, but it does feel a bit like a win. I've got to be honest.
A small one, yeah. Compared to the other three not doing anything. Yeah, it feels it, but, you know, I'm not dancing
nothing
too
to
much
celebrate,
about it.
But...
Yeah, not really. Simon, thank you for the member chat. He's been a member for 33 months, Sam. He says, almost as many miles as we walked in September. There
not
we go.
Quite as many, Simon. Not quite as many.
33. Scott Traeger, the OG, is in. Hello, mate. Nice to see you. Enzo still had an assist, Lee. Yeah, he did. I did bring in Enzo for Brian Embuemo, so not the end of the world. And it was a nice differential 5 or 6-pointer for Enzo. But that Embuemo goal definitely stings. Definitely stings. And I will talk you through, guys, when I get to my team, the series of events that led to me costing myself about 25 points.
I can't help but feel a little bit at fault because
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I made my own decisions. I had 3 free transfers coming into this game week, and it was always my intent to do a bit of a mini wildcard. I might as well cover this now, right? Rather than wait to the end. I was always my intent to a bit of a mini wildcard this week. So I did a couple of transfers in the week. I did Flecken to Raya, because I just had enough of having Flecken, frankly.
Which was the right thing.
And that's the right thing. I did Watkins to Isak.
Also the right thing.
So far, so good. 2 out of my 4 transfers that I eventually made. And I did do a -4.
But this is where I sort of feel a little bit culpable, because we were out and we were about to go for lunch. And you said, oh, there was all the KSI, Andy Stream, all that stuff, wasn't there? But then you said, oh, Gabrielle's been pictured with the squad. And I said, and this is where I think I'm slightly irresponsible, yeah, but remember what Zinchenko said about how even if you're out, the gaffer makes you go and be with the squad.
No, no, but listen, I was, you know, I made my own decisions. You did not influence me in any way. All week, even when we were here last Sunday, I was talking about Mbeumo to Enzo to enable
you
Trent.
Were.
I was
yes,
thinking
you were.
About that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I was definitely thinking about that all week. So my first two transfers, I've done Flecken to Raya, good. I've done Watkins to Isak, good.
Good, yeah.
So it's all going well so far. Then on Saturday lunchtime, as I'm waiting for the sort of maybe some team news, early team news to come in, I've done Mbeumo and Greaves out for Enzo and Trent.
Which is actually fine.
Which in the cold light of day, if it wasn't for that Mbeumo goal, you'd go, okay, well, you've got Enzo. You've missed out on about 3 or 4 points there, Lee, because you... And it's cost you a hit. So, yeah, I'm about 4 points down. But because I then had Trent in my team, I then had a benching headache, didn't I?
Yeah, which one did you do, Lee?
And I was then choosing between Aitnouri and Hall as to which one to bench. Guess which one I played, guys? Guess which one I played? So that micro decision has cost me net 17 points.
Yeah.
But I would not have done it. Had I not done those last two transfers, I'd have just rolled with Aitnouri and Hall and Gabrielle. And I'd have rolled with Mbeumo as well in that game. So I haven't done the maths, but that choice, the first two transfers, fine, the Isak and the Raya.
It's the last
but
two.
But the second two have probably net cost me about 25 and for a hit as well. Absolutely fuming, but it is what it is. It is what it is. The Lewis Hall one in particular, very annoying because talking about, you know, that second one is just mad. It's mad. And I think it's because I've benched him and I'm maybe just thinking about it as a bencher. If I had him, I wouldn't even be mentioning it. But that second assist, it's just not an assist. It's just got it wrong. It's just not an assist.
But it is an assist.
It's not an assist. Because we're talking about is it heading towards the intended target? No, it's not. Takes a massive deflection and Isak just knocks it in.
But
not an assist.
So there's two things. One is if it's a shot that's deflected,
yeah,
then it's still an assist.
Yeah.
If it's intended target, but it takes a deflection, it's still an assist.
Isak wasn't his intended target. Takes a big deflection and then Isak nods it in.
I think it's an assist.
It's nowhere near an assist. And even like the one, like the Dom Solanke one today.
That's an assist.
Well,
he touches it.
He gets something on it. It's not a shot. The ball just comes in and he gets something on it and the defender defends it. And then, is it Madison or something?
He touches it last.
It's not an assist, is it? You know, it's one of them where if you've got him, then fine. But it's just FPLs are so annoying, isn't it? Like, it's been the most, and I've had a green arrow. Like, I'm doing all right. Like, despite all of that 25 points that I've cost myself, I'm actually doing all right. But I can't help but feel like a lot of, oh God, I'm really negative this tonight. But like the last 3 weeks or so, I've had some 50-50 shouts that have gone, that have caused massive swings, massive swings, not like little swings. Like when I benched Cunha a couple of weeks ago for his 16 pointer.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, dumb in hindsight, right? But, you know, maybe his performances over the last couple of games,
sense.
You'd be like, okay, well, maybe it makes sense. And then what was the one last week? It was the not captaining Palmer for his two jammy penalties against Spurs and going with Watkins instead. Big, that's like a 17, 18 point swing.
Yeah.
And then this one with the double transfer, 25 point swing. Feasibly, even one of those decisions goes the other way and I'm 20 points better off than I am. Mm. And maybe 100, 150, 200K. And if all three of those go the right way, then I'm up in the top 50K. It's just those aren't the margins in FPL. Those aren't the margins. But anyway, we will get on with talking about these games. Let's talk about, Sam, your game first and foremost. The game we have just watched here at FPL Family Towers. I'm going to refresh this page so that these turn into final scores. Final scores. Southampton 0, Spurs 5. Very much taking your foot off the pedal in the second half of the game, but rightly so, because you've got a big, heavy fixture schedule coming up. Damage done in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I was really pleased with this performance, not because I thought it was our best ever performance ever that I've ever watched in my life, but more because we got the job done and we could see the game out. And in a week where we've got a huge, huge... And I know that some people will say, oh, yeah, but it's the League Cup. No, This is the biggest match of our season so far, the game against Manchester United.
And just
promised
you a trophy, so you've got to win it.
And just promised me a trophy. And he's promised all of the other Spurs fans a trophy. There will be 60,000 expectant Spurs fans in that Spurs stadium on Thursday evening, including myself. And I...
Are you going, are you, Manu?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know this. Yeah, yeah. You got a kid, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't forget. Yeah, so it's really important. And I think knowing that we could go into this one, get it done. And that's clearly what he said. The message was clearly, boys, go out there and get it done. Get it done. So that we got the Man United game on Thursday. And then we've got, obviously, the derby.
The FPL family derby coming up next weekend.
On Sunday. So two huge games in the next week. So, yeah, really good. Really great from Madison. He's gone out there. Led the line. Son, it was... And I appreciate that I'm going to sound like, you know, a ridiculous Spurs fan when I say this, because partly this... Yeah, I am, Lee, I'm afraid. And partly that's because Southampton were, you know, they were so poor. That shouldn't be underestimated.
So bad.
However, I think from my side, that's exactly the sort of game that players like Son, in particular Son, needed. It was a game where he could get at Kyle Walker-Peters down that side.
They gave him the freedom of the pitch. It was unbelievable.
They did. But what Son's been lacking over the last, arguably 6 months, maybe even longer, is that running at pace at a defender and going past them and doing a good job. And the more that had not happened, you could feel the confidence ebbing in him. And he's a real confidence player, Sonny. So today, to go out there, for him to get the goal, to get an assist, and it was a really nice ball as well, that assist that he put in.
The second Madison goal was a quality goal.
It was nice assist, and it was a really nice goal from Madders. So for them to go out there, lead the line in the way that they did, for the defence, and I appreciate, you know, it's Southampton, right? But for the defence that was makeshift at best, and Udogie goes off injured during that game as well. We're playing Archie Gray, and we're playing Dragison in the centre-back positions. Poro's had to come on from his rest that he was supposedly getting. He doesn't get a rest, he comes on. He's then forced to move Spence, who I thought was brilliant, by the way, into the wrong position on the other side of the pitch, because that's not where he wants to be.
I thought Jed Spence was good, actually, to be fair.
He was good. So going into the game next week, I think Spurs will be confident now. Do I think that you should all suddenly go and invest in Spurs assets? No. Do I think that Southampton were culpable for at least four of those five goals? Yes.
Oh, they were terrible.
Do I think that had we continued to play at the level that we were playing in the first half, that it would have been maybe 10? Yes. But we coasted it out in the second half. There was one right at the end where Timo puts in a lovely ball for Brennan Johnson, and Brennan should convert it.
What do you think about Spurs FPL assets, though? Because I'm looking at your fixtures. Yeah. Mixed, to say the least. So there's that there's that Liverpool coming to Spurs next weekend. Forest away, difficult game, and they're flying high at the minute.
Yeah.
Wolves at home, which on paper right now looks good, but who knows what's going on there over the next couple of weeks and what manager they'll get. Newcastle at home, Arsenal away, and then Everton away. It's mixed, isn't it? It's mixed. It's not easy fixtures. And like you say, there's the Man United League Cup game thrown in there as well for good measure. So, you know, five goals today, just an assist and a jammy one at that for Solanke. Hold or sell with those fixtures?
Lee, I think that there are... Most managers now are going to have some issues, right? You've got Ait Nouri,
who's
definitely an issue that you've got to deal with. Cunha is likely to become an issue for people, because I cannot see that he doesn't get suspended for stealing the glasses of the backroom staff of the Ipswich man. So they're issues. If you've brought in Cucurella, he's now red carded and suspended as well. There was a couple of other fifth yellow cards today as well, wasn't there? Munoz at Crystal Palace. So people are going to have issues across their team, right? That they're going to have to contend with and deal with.
Even like João Pedro's looking like a bit of an issue now after knee-jerking him in a couple of weeks ago. I feel like I've been hoodwinked by him.
Yeah, but I just think that at his price point, are you, like, you're not that arsed, are you? Oh, God, that was bad for me. I shouldn't... Like, that's
tantamount to swearing for you.
For me, that was terrible language.
There goes the monetization that we don't put on anyway.
So sorry, everybody. It's rather rude of me. You're not that bothered, are you, by João Pedro and his... Like, if he gets you a goal or an assist every other week or every third week, that's 5.6. You're not that bothered, I don't think. I think my point is that I look...
You think they're a hold then, Spurs assets?
I just think I look at my team and I can't... Like, Porro comes on, he's going to get the clean sheet. Solanke's got an assist today. I think if you've got a Spurs asset, you just hold them. They're not causing you any grief, are they? It's not like they're, you know, they're not regularly not returning. So, right. Yeah, I think they're a hold. I don't think I'd buy.
No.
But I think if you've got, I'd hold.
And from a Southampton perspective, he's got to go, isn't he? I think he's got to go, Russell Martin. I mean, that's just so poor today. The midfield in particular. I mean, I know we're talking about, you know, Son running at Kyle Walker-Peters and Kyle Walker-Peters being a bit exposed and Son fancying it and getting past him and all that is, you're absolutely right. But that's because the midfield for Southampton was just non-existent. Like, if that, against Liverpool next week, all right, we'll have our own issues at fullback, right? Because we've got no Robbo now and we've got maybe Gomez playing there. Simicast still isn't injured. So we'll have our own issues there. But we'll have McAllister back. We'll have Dom Szoboszlai, probably somebody in there. Gravenberg will be covering. You know, you will not get Son exposing, you know, going at Trent himself. And even then, it's Trent. It's not Kyle Walker-Peters. So they were so bad, Southampton. And from that perspective, I think you just continue to target them, don't you? The body language as well was all over the place, wasn't it?
It was. They were...
Who have they got next, Saints? I've got to have a look at these fixtures.
I mean, I think they've got you in midweek, haven't they, in the League Cup?
Yeah, but then it's Fulham away. That's a horrible game, right? If you've got a Raul Jimenez, if you've got Robinson, I know a lot of you already thinking about doing 8 Nori to Robinson. I'm thinking about that myself because Robinson against us will come to our game in a minute. I thought he was electric with 2 assists as well. Yeah, don't mind. I don't mind that, getting Robinson in against against Saints, right?
Oh, I took a breath to say something and I choked myself. Yeah, absolutely. I think I feel a bit for Southampton because within 38 seconds they're a goal down through bad mistakes in the midfield. The defence is not being... We talk about it all the time. We talked about it with Man City with Rodri getting injured. We talked about it before with Liverpool when that season. Was it last year or the year before when everyone seemed to get injured at the same time and you didn't have anyone supporting ahead of the back line? I can't remember when that was.
Yeah.
But like, when you don't have that person that commands the midfield and supports your back line, particularly in a club like Southampton where they're trying to play out from the back, that is a huge problem.
Yeah.
And they made the same mistake 5 times in the first half today. They let us get in easily. And we're a team that will attack. They know that coming in. So, yes, it wasn't a good afternoon for the Saints. I don't think he can survive. I think if Gary O'Neill's gone, I think Russell Martin's quickly following.
All right.
Yeah, but all you right. Continue to target while they don't have... Well, they're not doing anything about it, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And talking of managers getting the sack, talking of bad body language, talking about bad performances, Wolves 1, Ipswich 2. Was this good from Ipswich or was this just terrible from Wolves? What's your take on this one?
I thought Wolves were dreadful. Again?
Wolves were dreadful. No doubt about it.
I think it's a shame, really, because I really actually do like O'Neill. I think he's quite good as a manager. I was fascinated by his interview after the game yesterday because he was talking about how he's doing everything he can with the group of players that he has to get them up for the challenge and to motivate them.
Yeah.
And they don't look like a team that is like bothered. They look...
That statement is a veiled dig at
the players?
At the club.
Oh,
because the club, they just keep selling all their best players.
Well,
you can't sell Neto and Kilman.
No,
your key centre-half and you're probably your key creative talisman going forward in the summer.
No.
And then not back him.
No,
that's the key. They've not backed him.
No.
And you know that next summer Cunha's going.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll go.
Yeah.
Because as soon as anybody shows any sort of half-decency at Wolves, they get sold.
Yeah.
And I totally feel for him. But he's gone because they're not even controlling their emotions, right? You've seen it spill over last week with Lamina. He gets stripped of the captaincy.
Well, because he's had a massive dig at the owner.
He's had a dig at the owner, all the rest of it, right? And then they go out this week and they perform absolutely awfully. Like the pressing was just not there.
No.
And I know that, you know, Ipswich at home, we'd all have that as a home banker, wouldn't we? Against anybody, any team in the league, bar maybe Southampton, you'd say you would expect usually to beat Ipswich at home.
Yeah.
If you play like Wolves played, you will not beat Ipswich. Because Ipswich, they actually gave a shit and worked a little bit hard and pressed, right? Whereas Wolves, terrible. There was just the body. There was all the, you know, the hands up in the air and the sort of, oh, the sort of lethargy. It was just so bad.
It was bad. And I think you look at that Ipswich team, and I get everything that you've just said is absolutely right. But there's good players in that team. There's good players. They've got a decent...
In Wolves?
Yeah. They've got good players in a decent squad, but they have all lost the plot. It's clear. The fact that we've had two games in a week, because they were like it on Monday night against West Ham, where Lamina, first of all, gets in a fight with Jarrod Bowen and then has a massive go at the ownership of the club. The fact that that's happening by the captain to go into this game at the weekend, to lose it in the way that they did, because by the end of that game, it was only Ipswich that were going to win the game.
Mm.
To lose it in the way that they did towards the back end, and then for it to spill over, and for Ait Nouri and Cunha, who are two of the most senior members of that team, to behave in the way that they did at full time.
Yeah. But the Ipswich first goal is just comedy. It's just comedy.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like it's just ping pong football, own goal from Wolves. But then, like, after the... So Cunha pulls out a decent goal. They start to have... They look as if, for the final 25 minutes of that game, they are the ones that are in the ascendancy.
They are,
and they get a bit of confidence from the Cunha goal, and they look as if they are the ones... If anyone's going to win that game, it's going to be Wolves.
That's how it looks.
And then Ipswich get a corner in the 94th minute, and you're like, I know what's going to happen. Yeah. You're just like, the script is written for this.
Yep.
Because Wolves looked like they were going to win, and then he just nicks it, wasn't it? The young lad Taylor, right at the death. It was just, you could see it happening, because as soon as he placed that ball down in the triangle for the take the corner, you could see them all crapping themselves, Wolves. In the box, they were all like, oh my God, if this goes in, we're toast.
We're done, yeah.
And that's what happened. Yeah. And that is what's happened. They're toast.
Yeah. And I feel for O'Neill. I suspect O'Neill will be back. I mean, it would be really interesting if Southampton sack Russell Martin. They could do worse than getting O'Neill in.
Don't know about that.
He's a decent manager.
He needs to go and manage abroad, I think.
He's just not being backed by the club, is my...
Yeah. What are you doing with Ait Nouri?
Well, this actually leads us into the Crystal Palace game quite nicely, because last night I was like, right, what am I doing with Ait Nouri? Clearly he's a sell. So who am I selling him for? Because I actually could just bench him this week. One of my options was Munoz at Crystal Palace, who wasn't playing until today. So I was like, well, maybe we...
Hold fire.
We chill.
Yep.
And we wait.
Yep.
And I'm glad we did, because he picks up his fifth yellow card in this one. So he's now suspended for game week 17.
Mm.
So that's going to put a lot of people, including myself, off doing it. So there's two options that I've got now. Well, there's actually loads of options, because I actually think that there's a lot of good options I could go to. I've got some money in the bank, so I could come up if I wanted to.
Where would you go?
Well, so I really like Munoz or Robinson are my two preferred options. Stay in that rough price point.
Kirkes, any love for him?
I do really like Kirkes, but again, want to watch Bournemouth tomorrow, because if the kid is playing again in Senesi's place, what's he called? Hussein?
Huison, I think Huison, is how you say it.
Whatever his Dean.
I think that's right. Dino.
I think it's called Dino. If Dino's playing again and he plays well again, then he's definitely an option. Like, I think a Bournemouth defender is definitely on the radar, but again, I want to wait and watch them. The other option is to not stay in the price point and come up for another Liverpool asset alongside Salah. But I was kind of put off a bit by your performance on Saturday.
Played with 10 men for most of it.
I know, but that also puts me off a little bit, because Robbo now suspended and Tsimikas not fit. So who's playing there?
Gomez will play there.
Okay.
And he'll put Quansah at the back with Virgil.
But...
So in the short term, we'll do our game in a bit, but I think Quansah is a short term option if you, for whatever reason, want to go there.
Oh yeah, but I think short term,
like whenever Robbo comes back, it'll be at left back and Gomez will go to centre off.
But I think my point more is that it's put me off the Liverpool defence while Quansah's there until Robbo's back.
Yeah, sure.
So I think really what I'm looking at now is, do I wait a week?
People are saying Robbo's only suspended for the cup game. That's actually a good point.
Oh, is it? There you go then. That actually maybe is not less of an issue then. So I could just then go for a Liverpool defender. So it could be...
I thought it was more of a ban than that, right? Because straight red. Officially it was a denial of a goal scoring opportunity. We'll talk about that in a minute, because it wasn't. So don't think it was a red personally. But I thought it was more than one game, guys. Get in the chat, let us know. I thought it was more than one
whatever the outcome of that conversation is, the one option is to go up to Liverpool, because don't have a Liverpool defender. Yeah. The other option is wait a week, bench Aitnori for a week and go for Munoz. The other option is just admit that I got it wrong when I sold Robinson on wildcard and bring him back.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will be doing that. And Cunha, if you had Cunha, what would you do with him?
Well, I think he's going to be a sell as well, because if he doesn't get a ban, I'll be amazed.
Well, I think I will probably hold him if he doesn't get the ban, because he got Leicester next and then Manchester United at home, which we don't know, right? We don't know who's coming in. We don't know if there's going to be any new manager bounce. We don't know whether the players have lost faith in O'Neill, and actually him leaving would be good and net positive for them. We don't know.
But surely he's going to be banned.
We don't know, do we? We don't know.
No, you don't. But don't think you can grab a man's face and pull his glasses off.
Yeah, all right. Well, he's not a priority sell for me. But Aitnori definitely is a priority sell, because I think you told me that because that the second yellow he got obviously was then upgraded to the red.
Yes.
That does not, therefore, mean that he'll reset his four yellow suspensions. So when he comes back from this suspension, he will still be on the suspension tightrope.
He'll still have four yellows.
Because he'll still have four. So if he gets another yellow,
he's gone again.
He's gone again.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a sell, guys. If you've got Aitnori, just get rid of him and just accept that you've got to spend a transfer.
Where are you going to go?
Robinson, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Kirkes. I want to have a look at Kirkes tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow night's quite
he's
important.
One that a lot of the community have been scouting, and I haven't done enough scouting of him, so I will have a look at him tomorrow.
I like Kirkes.
But I have got an eye on him, and he's been linked with us as well, which is why I'll have even more of an eye on him.
I also really like, but I think if you look at the fixture ticker particularly from sort of the new year-ish, Fulham's fixtures are great. Actually, so are Everton's. Mikalenko could be an option as well.
Yeah, possibly. All right, let's talk about... let's move on from Wolves versus Ipswich and say a sad goodbye to Gary O'Neill. I'm personally quite sad to see him go. I think he's a nice guy and a good manager.
Yeah, yeah.
Newcastle 4, Leicester 0. A rude awakening for the new Leicester City manager. 4-0 up at St James's Park. Two goals for Murphy, and I did see a bit of narrative about, you know, it's one of his best games in a Newcastle shirt. Two goals and an assist, was it, I think, for Murphy. Well played. I thought he was absolute rubbish, Murphy. I thought he was probably their worst player, but he took the two goals reasonably well. But a player that I did think played well was Mr. Isak, and he is now starting to become, I think, a bit of a fixture in the FPL template. What do you think? You've not got him. I bought him in this week for Watkins. No regrets on that transfer in particular. Golden assist for Isak. Any thoughts about getting him in?
I mean, I have thoughts every week about getting him in. I've got two free transfers for next week because I didn't do anything this week. He's definitely on my...
radar?
On my radar. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple of things that put me off Isak. And it's nothing really to do with Isak. It's more to do with how I would get to him. Because my obvious route to him is to sell Solanke. But even then, there needs to be some money found. And if I'm talking about upgrading at the back and all of that stuff, then that's an issue. Plus, obviously, there's the assistant manager chip and keeping some money in the bank for my...
Oh, we haven't even discussed that. We've got to discuss that, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got to keep some money in the bank for,
do that in a minute.
Whoever I'm going to go for. Now, actually, with my strategy on that, I probably don't need to keep money in the bank because I think I'm going to play it in the last 3 weeks of the season. So I don't need to worry about that money for a long time yet.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are planning to play your assistant manager chip quickly, as in like game week 24, 25, 26, which some will if that's when the Liverpool double goes, then you do need to think about that strategy sort of relatively quickly, particularly if you want to afford to buy slot, right? Because he's going to be 1.5 million clearly. So my obvious route to Isak is to go Solanke. I don't feel like Solanke is a priority sell still. I think there are others in my team that are a bigger priority to get out than Solanke is.
Okay.
I think when I look at my front line, I've got Evan Nilsson, who obviously hasn't played yet this week. We've got to see how he gets on tomorrow. And then João Pedro is there and is an issue, but isn't a big issue, I don't think. There's also, is it such a straightforward chat as it's just Isak? Is Jackson, because I still think Jackson's in the conversation. Like, he gets a goal again today. I don't have him either. So I don't know, really, is the answer. I think for me, whilst I have Bruno Fernandes, Isak is quite difficult.
Difficult to get to. If
I go Bruno Fernandes down to somebody else, which I wasn't hoping to have to deal with Aitnori this week, to be honest, but if I have to deal with him, then I could go Bruno Fernandes down to an Ahmed, and that would make it very easy for me to go from João Pedro to Isak.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, let's have a look at Isak's fixtures then. Here's part of the reason that I brought him in. So Ipswich away up next, which, you know, difficult game, but I'd back him maybe scoring that. Villa at home, Manchester United away, Spurs away. So three of the next four away for Isak. So, but yeah, you're right. So no, by no means, you know, an obvious transfer in, but he is looking at business.
He is, but I also kind of feel like this was the week. If you were going to get Isak, I kind of feel like this was the
this
one
was
to
the
do
one
it.
You wanted, yeah.
Because the away from home, their form isn't so great and there is a lot of away fixtures coming up for them. So yeah, look, I think if you've got him, he's a hold. I think if you haven't got him, but you also haven't got Jackson, there's a broader conversation to be had there about which of the two of them is actually the better option to buy.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do Chelsea in a second. Leicester, not going well for Rude, is it? Got a lot of work to do. I think he's just understanding the size and the scale of the problem.
Yeah, and also... like
giving away a lot of chances, giving away a lot of shots, aren't they?
They are. But I also kind of think that... And I mean this with the greatest respect to Van Nistelrooy, because I thought he did a great job when he was covering at Manchester United. For two games. Or three, wasn't it, in the other competitions. But I think... I think for me, the issue is that when you are Leicester, Wolves... bracket Ipswich down there, definitely Southampton, West Ham, you have to be able, it's a different kind of managerial setup, right? You're not out there trying to win games 5-0 and thrash people. You're out there scrapping. Mm-hmm. You're scrapping for points. I might be wrong, but in Van Nistelrooy's career, he's not been a scrapper. He's been out there winning titles and, you know, and I think in terms of like ambition and drive, he's got that in bucket loads. But has he got the skill set and the mindset for the scrap? I don't know.
Don't know. But all I know is they are giving up a lot of possession. They're giving up a lot of territory. They're conceding a lot of shots. And when you go to someone like St. James's Park, who's someone as lethal in front of goal as Isak, you can't afford to give up a lot of shots. I've already had my say on Lewis, so I'm not going back around that. He was top for chances created so far this game week, by the way, with five. So he's out there on his own with Robinson, Palmer and Mitoma coming in with four apiece as second best. So despite the fact that that was not an assist, right? I'm not having it. That second one was not an assist. It's disgusting that that was given. but he still created the most amount of chances this game week. So perhaps the 15-pointer is justified. Perhaps it's justified. Just before we go to the next game then, Sam, do you like the Assman chip? What do you think of it?
Please don't call it the Assman.
Can we do this briefly as well? Because there's been so much coverage of this in the last week or so that I'm kind of sick of it already. But and you can probably tell from that what my opinion of it is. But what do you think of it?
Well, I don't like you calling it the Assman chip. I think there's a lot of... So I think there's two ways of looking at it, right? I think if you... People are like, oh, it's only made for elite managers. I disagree entirely. I think if you are an elite manager and you take FPL really seriously, like all of you guys that are listening to this, you can maximise it and play it in various different ways. I think if you're a casual manager, it's actually the easiest thing to understand in the world. You just buy a manager and it can be...
It's not the easiest thing to understand in the world if you're a casual manager. You are talking absolute nonsense, Sam.
No, it is.
It's so difficult to understand if you're a casual manager.
No, because...
Somebody in my office said to me, oh, they've released this magic chip. First of all, they called it the magic chip. Mm-hmm. They've released the magic chip. Yeah, it's got, I said, it's called the assistant manager chip. And they were like, yeah, can you explain that to me? And within 5 seconds, they were like, I don't care, or I'm lost.
But it's... So, yeah, because that's because you will have gone, so you can do this, you can do that, you can play it here, you can do this, you can do that. Because that's how we think, right? As a casual manager, when I explain this chip to Max, which I will at some stage, my point to him is going to be, right, Max, you get to buy a manager. Which one do you fancy to win the matches? So if you want to go for I said on the official podcast, if you're George and you just really want to have Frank, you can. If you... want to just pick Arteta or Slot, you can. Like, you can just do it on a basic level. That's the best manager in the league. That's the one I'm going to go for. And let's be frank, if you give it to Slot in a double game week for Liverpool, he's probably going to get you 6, 12, 18, 20, plus some clean sheets, plus some goals. He's probably going to get you 30 points.
Well, and you've hit the nail on the head, right? This is, and I think you said it to me when it was announced, and I agree with you, I think it's the most powerful chip
massively
in the game.
Yeah.
And I think it's an absolute godsend for the likes of me and you that are having a pretty average season.
Yep.
But take you know, we take in a lot of FPL content, and we will take the time to understand what the Ass Man chip is and how to play it and the best time to play and everything else. But you are completely wrong when you say it's good for the casual player and they'll know how to... It is completely out of line with the way that FPL have been releasing features and functionality around FPL in the last sort of year to 2 years. Everything they're doing is trying to get more of a casual player. This is not attracting the casual player. This is a godsend for those of us, for all of you here tonight, all of us in this live stream who actually care about FPL and play it and will take the time to understand which manager to get and when to play it for the right 3 weeks. Godsend. Because we can maximise it and get 30, 40, 50 points even ahead of the casual players who A, won't understand it, B, just pick their favourite manager, or C, won't even play it at all.
So I don't think that's true, because I think even if you play it on slot in 3 week periods, you're still going to get 30 points out of him. You will. So you can play it on slot, probably get similar out of Arteta, probably going to get similar out of Maresca. Like, if you play it on one of those three managers, you're going to have to spend probably 1.5. But in reality, you're probably going to get 30. I think for us, we can... And for those that take the time to really think about it and consider where you're going to play it. But it's the same with everything. I don't understand why it's any different to everything else. Because you see the casual managers who don't understand the power of the bench boost, the free hit, the wild cards, just playing them whenever the hell they like. They put, you get them played in game week one. People go, oh, I'll play triple captain now. Oh, I'll do this now. Oh, I'll do that. Because people don't take the time to understand it properly. But this is a chip that you can... not understand it properly and still get 30 plus points out of it by playing it on slot or Arteta. If you take the time to fully understand it, for me, I think I'm looking at a 36, 37, 38 play, because at that point, we'll know who's still, which managers are still fighting for something. I'll pick one of the ones that's fighting relegation or one of the ones that's fighting for European slots that's sitting in that lower price, that lower part of the table, so that you can target the
people in the chat say Pep will be 0.5.
Pep might be 0.5. And then you can, I think you can, and the fact that I can, at that point in the season, my team should be set, my bench boost will be gone, I can kill the bench. If I need to transfer my manager out and take a, and use my transfer from my manager, I can do that. I think there's plenty of potential with it. Even if you are a casual, I still think you'll get 30 points. I think for us, if we play it properly, we could be looking at 60 points out of this chip, which is so much more than you can get out of anything else. Because if you play Mo Salah, the triple captain in the double game week, that's fine. You're going to get the extra bit of the triple captain, but everyone else is captaining him. So you're only getting that a little bit of extra. Whereas in this, I think it's huge.
I think it's great for us engaged managers, all of us in the community, great, because of its complexity. So I don't understand why they've announced it, but I'm happy they have, because it gives me an advantage over Bob in accounts who won't even be bothered to understand what it's all about. So I'm happy it's here. I don't understand why it's here. That's what, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, the Ass Man chip, discuss. Who knows?
Assistant manager.
I'm just going to call it. I am going to call it the Ass Man chip.
You can't call it that.
I just think it's just, I don't know if it's a net positive for the game, I'll be honest with you. But anyway, let's move on. Arsenal 0, Everton 0. So despite Liverpool slipping up at home to Fulham, which we'll cover in just a second, Arsenal could not take advantage, Sam. They couldn't take advantage. And how much of it do you put down to Set Piece FC? Versus Jordan Pickford being the world's best goalkeeper.
Okay.
What a world did he have, by the way.
Why is it that Jordan Pickford...
he just has a game like this every now and again.
I think it might be he has his Weetabix that day. I don't know what it is about Jordan Pickford, but some mornings he wakes up and thinks, I feel like I'm going to be peaked today.
Today I'm going to be the best keeper in the world.
And then he goes off.
He just decides it, doesn't he?
And he's incredible. And you're like, Jordan... why are you not like this when you play for England every week? Thank you. I don't understand it, but he was absolutely outstanding.
Very good, wasn't he?
What do I put it down to Arsenal being, what did you call them? Set piece FC?
Set piece FC, yeah.
Has been a while since they've scored a goal that's not been from a set piece, hasn't it?
Just saying.
I think... okay, I'm going to say something really rogue now. When Gabriel wasn't playing, I felt like Timber and Saliba knew exactly what to do because they had to be the ones that stood in for Gabriel. Whereas when Gabriel was back, kind of felt like, well, Gabriel Pickford was being Pickford brilliant, but the other two were a bit like, oh, well, what should we do now in this set piece? Should we still aiming always at Gabriel or, do you know?
Do you not think teams that are playing against Arsenal now, though, whenever there's an Arsenal corner, they click it. They click up a gear, right? Do you know? But so a few weeks ago, Arsenal started getting loads of goals from corners, and it was kind of taking teams by surprise.
Yeah.
But now you get Arsenal get a corner against you, and you go, switch the F on, boys, because these boys are good at
particularly
corners.
If you've got big defenders, and I mean.
Yeah, you know. And it's not so much of a surprise anymore. You can defend against it. It's very hard, right? Arsenal's set pieces are excellent, right? They're like NFL plays. They're so good.
Mm.
But I just feel like now Arsenal get a corner against you as a team, you take it up to 11.
Yeah.
You just switch on a bit more. And Everton did that, I thought, really, really well.
They were good.
No manager is going to be better at doing that than Dyche, right? Because that's what he does.
No, he's good for
it. And the Dyche, the Burnley Dyche that we saw a few seasons ago in the Premier League, we're now just starting to see that Everton, I think.
Yeah.
Boring, efficient, can grind out a 0-0 if they want to, etc., etc. And they did. They played well here. Don't get me wrong, Pickford was man of the match, but they were good.
I'm also looking at the fixtures that Arsenal have coming up. So Palace away, Ipswich at home, Brentford away, Brighton away, and then Spurs at home.
Who's this? Arsenal?
Yeah.
Let's bring up their fixtures.
These are not... And even Villa after that, Villa at home. And then Wolves. Like, none of these fixtures are defences that can defend set pieces.
Yeah.
So, Everton, yes, they did it. And they did it well. Do you really think that Dean Henderson's going to be good at that? No.
I think that's a horrible game for Arsenal, that. That's next Saturday evening.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace, yeah. Under the lights. Yeah. With that crowd.
No Munoz.
Munoz? Why is that a big deal?
Well, he's one of their defenders that's missing from that back line.
He's a fullback. The key men are in the middle there.
Well, they are.
And playing well, Crystal Palace. And they got a good result this weekend. And Munoz, all right, he's not playing. Big deal. He's not going to be the key to stopping Arsenal, I don't think. But I think that's a horrible little game for Arsenal next week. And I'm here for it. Can't wait.
No, I don't mean it like that. I just mean that from set pieces, I don't think that Crystal Palace will be able to do what Everton did with the defenders that they have.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think Ipswich will. I don't think Brentford can. I don't think Brighton will. I don't think Spurs can. I don't think Aston Villa can. I don't think Wolves can. So regardless of whether, like, Everton, yes, they did a good job of it. And actually, if I'm the manager of any of these other teams, I'm looking at what Everton did and going, boys, this is what we need to do with these from set pieces.
Well, it's not just the set. So as Rory's saying in the chat, they doubled up on Saka.
They did a great job.
They doubled up on Saka. That's key, right? If you can nullify him, you nullify a key threat for them, right? From open play.
Massively, yeah.
From open play.
Yeah.
Anyway, no panic on my Arsenal assets. I bought in Raya this week and I had Gabriel anyway. So the double clean sheet is good. I was happy with that.
And
I've got Saka. So, yeah, no panic on Arsenal. I think those fixtures with, you know, Palace away, despite what I've just said about that being a tricky game, you know, these are games where you'd back Arsenal to, you know, start finding their shooting boots, I think. So treble Arsenal is okay, particularly when two of them, for me at least, are at the back. Mohar saying the ideal Arsenal triple, Sam, if you were going to pick from scratch right now, where would you go? Saka would be one of them.
Saka's one of them. The defenders is harder.
Yeah.
I think Timber's there because of the price point. I think Timber's there. And then I think it's probably Gabriel.
Okay.
But
yeah, Simon's saying I wouldn't triple, which is, yeah, fair.
That's fair enough. Fair.
If you had to pick three, I think, Raya or Timber with Gabriel and Saka, I still think.
Yeah, because I think the thing that puts me off Raya a little bit, and I'm surprised you didn't, but then you wanted Trent, is that you could go for Alisson, who's cheaper than Raya right now.
You could do. Yeah, you could do. Let's discuss that game then. Liverpool 2, Fulham 2. A bit of a mad game, to be honest with you. A bit of a mad game. Liverpool going down to 10 men quite early on with Robbo getting sent off. I have a strong opinion on this.
But
maybe it's my red tinted glasses. Did you think it was a red?
No, I think he's unlucky.
Why though?
Because I don't think it's... Well, one, I thought it was offside, but it wasn't. Two, I don't think it's a goal-scoring opportunity.
Correct.
I just think he's a bit old. And a bit
he gets sent off for... Well, we can talk about how cooked he is, because I think he is. Him and Walker in the same bracket, I think. But the reason he gets sent off is for denial of a goal-scoring opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? Last man, that is, basically.
Yeah.
But the referee, after the foul, plays the advantage, and then Jimenez has a chance.
Yeah.
So how can... It can't be... The denial of a goal scoring opportunity. because the goal scoring opportunity happens.
It still happened, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if the ref, if Robbo fouls him and the ref goes, stop play, immediately stop play, that's a red card, then, okay, I'm not sure I'd agree with it, but fair. But the fact that the ref says play on and then there's a goal scoring opportunity means that Robbo cannot possibly get sent off for a denial of a goal scoring opportunity. It's just shit refereeing again. Don't get me back on that again. Every week I sit and talk about refereeing. But again, it's just bad, crap refereeing. And of course, it changes the game. It changes the game completely because then Gravenberch has to he has to play kind of six and centre half as well. I think Gomez goes out left, I think. And it's all a bit, you know, hickledy-pickledy to say the least. But Fulham played well, right? They played well and they deserved their lead. The Andreas goal, which I think gets a deflection off of Robbo. He had a bad first few minutes, no doubt about it, Robbo. And I agree with what you were saying before. He does look as if his legs are going a little bit. I think it's no surprise that we're being linked with Kerkez. And it's no surprise that we're going to be linked, I think, with left-backs going into the summer or maybe even in January. Because I think Robbo's legs are a little bit gone and you can't trust Tsimikas as far as you can throw him. You can't. Don't. I know. We've had this before. You know you love Tsimikas, but he's a terrible defender.
I love Tsimikas. I wish he was fit.
He's a terrible defender,
He's
Sam.
The best.
He's positionally just, one of the worst in the league.
He's just so happy. He makes me smile. Every time I see him, he makes me smile. Yeah, look, it's a problem. And I don't know. It's. I'm pleased he's... Well, I thought he was going to be out of our game. But if he's not, then I'm a bit disappointed about that.
No, the guys in the chat are absolutely right. So for a dog show, for a denial of a goal scoring opportunity, it's a one game ban.
It's very annoying, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah, so forget what I said earlier about Kwanzaa. That's complete nonsense. The Ballon d'Or winner, future Ballon d'Or winner, is back.
Oh, Jota.
What were we saying?
Yeah, Jota came back and he scored.
Not only did he score, oh, just was just so happy to have him back. So happy to have him back.
Do you think...
Mm-hmm.
Can we go straight back?
Yeah.
Is he going to get straight... I don't mean because of his ability.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be gently?
Nope.
Oh, no.
Nope. If you want him, get him. I expect him to start against Southampton in the week.
Right.
I expect him to get about an hour.
Okay.
I think that'll be... You need some match fitness, right? You need some match fitness. So he'll start that game, I think... And he'll play about an hour, would be my feeling on it. If he starts as a sub, I'd be surprised, but let's see. And then, yeah, I think he starts against you lot. I think he starts.
So you think straight back in, instead of Gakpo, presumably, we're going back to the back three, at the front three of Salah, Jota and Diaz.
Forget Nunes, he's done.
No, I didn't mean that.
He's done. The only one that I would say would be harshly done by, if Jota comes straight back in with Diaz and Salah over side, is Gakpo. Mm. Because Gakpo's now got 7 in his last 10.
Yeah, he's done
He's
right,
in good form.
Yeah, yeah.
So for him to drop down to the bench would be, a bit of a... That's a fair comment, actually. That's a fair comment. I've been a bit sort of... Straight to the point there, because I love Jota so much. But Gakpo is there hovering around, no doubt. And he's on form. He's playing well.
Well, the reason I asked the question is because I think from an FPL perspective, it's very attractive to go straight back to Jota. It's very attractive.
I think you play more often than not.
I didn't want to sell Jota when I sold him. No. I only sold him because he got injured and I had no choice. The attractive thing right now, and as soon as I saw him come on, I was like, okay. Here we go. We can go back to... This is how I'm going to double on Liverpool because I'm not sure about the defence. But this is where I can go. But my concern was, it's been how many weeks? Game week 8 he got injured.
Yeah.
So it's been since game week 9 that we've not had him. So what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Premier League matches plus the postponed one. So 7 weeks.
Yeah, that's maybe I've been a bit hasty.
Yeah, my concern was that's a long injury. So I know you do. It's a long injury and Gakpo's been good. So it wouldn't surprise me to see just a bit of easing in. Now, that might mean he starts every game but only gets 60 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, it makes me just a little bit, you know.
Okay. What did you make of Trent's performance? What did you think of that? Worth going there or do you still think he's a bit pricey?
I still have issues with the price tag and... It's just that if you're going to cost me 7 million, I want a clean sheet guaranteed and I want some proper attacking threat.
I think it's because when he come back from his injury in those two games, he got a sort of 3 assists in 2 games, didn't he? Particularly against Newcastle, looked very, very good. But I think we've all got to remember that in, you know, before that injury in this slot system, he got like one assist in sort of, what was it, 10 games or something, wasn't it? So again, maybe I've been a bit hasty going there. But with the fixtures that Liverpool have got coming up, obviously the Spurs game is a difficult game when we go away at Spurs, but Leicester at home, West Ham, Man United at home, Forest, Brentford, you know, it's they're up there, right? The Fantasy Football Scout ticker has them, I think, fifth best between now and game week 22. So I think there's clean sheets in there. And, I, you know, I'd expect some points from Trent, so I'm going to go there.
Yeah, look, I get it. I totally get it. I'm just hoping that I can cover that with Robinson because I think there's clean sheets there and there's attacking threat there.
Yeah. So what did you make of his performance then? So Fulham, for everything I've said about Liverpool, good, right? And Robinson, very aggressive. Very aggressive in his attack. And I thought there was a few times when they kind of doubled up on that side against Trent. Yeah. Him and, was it Pereira or Iwobi? Or whoever it was on that side, I can't remember. But, you know, Salah's not, he's not really one for tracking back. The new Salah, for everything that we love about him in FPL, and there's lots that we love about him, the one thing we have often said week in, week out, is that he's more efficient with his running.
Yep.
Now, sometimes, and against Fulham and Robinson, they spotted that and they were like, well, he doesn't always sprint back in the way that perhaps he has done in previous seasons. And maybe he just conserves his energy, ready to get the goals at the end of a game. But when you've got a player missing and you haven't got Gravenberch covering on that side because he's playing at centre-half because Robbo's been sent off, get forward. And they often doubled up on Trent. They give him a torrid time. And Robinson in particular was attacking at will, sprinting past Salah and getting involved with the attack.
Well,
very, very good.
And who's he going to face next week? Southampton. And which side's he on? The Kyle Walker-Peters side, where all the joy came from Spurs. So I think, you know, when you're looking at what was happening in that game that Spurs were playing, whether it was Udogie in the first part of the game before he got injured, or whether it was Jed Spence towards the second part of the game, or Son, or whoever it was, the positions that Robinson takes mean that I think he will be, I mean, there should be a clean sheet against Southampton, but there also should, there's plenty of potential there for an attacking return as well. When you look at the fixtures that they have coming up after that, obviously it's Chelsea on Boxing Day, which isn't an easy fixture, particularly as it's away at Stamford Bridge. However, Chelsea don't keep clean sheets. They just don't. They always concede one. It's an annoyance if you've got a Gusto or a Cucurella, more on him later. But after that, Bournemouth at home, Ipswich at home, West Ham away, Leicester away, yeah, Man United at home. Those fixtures are great. That is a great run of fixtures. And even when you get, and then there's a Newcastle game, but even when you get past that, Forest, Crystal Palace, Wolves, Brighton, there is plenty of clean sheets to come for Fulham in these fixtures.
And from the attack, would you consider going for a Jimenez if you were if you'd had enough of João Pedro? I appreciate you're giving him a bit more time, but there will be FPL managers that have had enough of him already.
I think it's attractive to go for the Fulham attack. The problem I have with Jimenez is he isn't really returning on the level of returns that you would expect from
cheap
him.
Cheap though, isn't he?
Cheap. But I also think that if you look into the midfield, the likes of Iwobi has been fabulous.
He's been good. Yeah,
he's been really, really good. And he's cheap as well. So I guess it depends on how you want to structure your team and the way that you want to go. João Pedro, for me, still feels like the better option over Jimenez. But that's maybe I'm being a bit blind there. I just feel like in that Fulham team, I don't think Jimenez is my preferred pick. I think if I was going for an attacker, Iwobi would be.
All right. I think it's harder to find a space for Iwobi in your team because the midfield slots are so good. I think if Cunha does end up getting banned for ripping that guy's glasses off, I could go back to Jimenez. Yeah, just because I've been there once and it didn't work doesn't mean you can't go again.
You're like, it's like a terrible affair. You've basically gone, you've got rid of Jimenez. He was like your wife. Gone, sorry, it's over. Gone off and had a bit of an illicit affair with Cunha. And then gone,
which has been quite nice, to be fair.
And then gone, this has been quite fun. Oh God, when they woken up one morning and gone, I've made a horrible mistake.
I need to rip the glasses off my face.
I need to go back and I need to go and make it up with my wife. That's how it feels.
All right, Jimenez, you're being wifed. right, what else is there to discuss? Forest 2, Villa 1. Let's do these games pretty quickly, Sam. Forest 2, Villa 1. You got to hand it to Forest. What are they, fourth in the league at the moment?
They're above City, aren't they?
Absolutely unbelievable job he's doing there, Nuno Espirito Santo. I thought when John Duran got the goal, I thought Villa would just see that game out, but none of it. You know, talk about character, talk about fight, talk about wanting to come back into it. And in the end, really, this was the Martinez game, really, wasn't it? Because I mean, that save, it was in the first half. First half, second half. Second half, wasn't it? Beginning of the second half.
Pickford-esque.
God, please. It was one of the best saves I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I've ever seen.
Really good.
It was unbelievably good. I remember, and this will show my age a little bit, but David Seaman in like some tournament somewhere, like clawing it out from like behind him, from behind the line. It was such a good save. And I never thought I'd see a better save than that.
I think this one was.
But this one is up there. It's properly good save. But no one will remember it because then he fumbles it into his own net for the first goal.
He's got to do better.
And you're just like, Martinez, mate, come on. You can't pull off the world's best save and then throw it in your own net.
No.
Just, it was crazy. But that goal from Milenkovic header, it just galvanised Forest. And you could sense it in the crowd. They were just we can go and win this now. And when Elanga puts the goal in on like 93, 94... you give them all the credit in the world. Yeah. All the credit in the world. I think if you're a Forest fan watching this, suck it up. Dare to dream. I think they look unbelievable. But, and Chris Wood, despite not getting any returns, very unlucky to have one ruled out for offside.
I was grateful.
You've sold him, haven't you?
I've sold him.
Yeah, well, I think you're unlucky if you're a Wood owner because that was a toenail offside, that one.
And again, if you look at the fixtures for Nottingham Forest, it's Brentford away, who, you know, yes, at home, Brentford love to score goals, but they also like to concede a goal or two. So wouldn't put it past them to get something out of that one. Spurs at home, that's difficult for us. Very, very difficult. Everton, Wolves, then it's Liverpool, but then Southampton, Bournemouth, Brighton, Fulham. Fixtures are good still. Like, if you want to go for Milenkovic as your replacement for Itnori, I absolutely don't hate that.
Don't mind it.
I don't mind that at
all. 2-2 for him, isn't it? It's a threat from set pieces, Milenkovic.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is a threat from set pieces. And he's still really cheap, isn't he? So what is he, 4.5 still? 9 points and 7 points in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, then there was the disappointing result against Manchester City, the only game that Manchester City have actually played well. But even before that, keeps the clean sheet against Ipswich. There's plenty of potential there and plenty of upside for Milenkovic. So... yeah, I don't hate that at all. And I think if you are invested in Nottingham Forest, you absolutely hold.
Yeah, very good. I thought Aina played well again. Yeah. I was so impressed with them this season. They've got the guy, you guys in the chat are saying, like Mohar saying, Forest are so spirited. I think you're absolutely right about that. And Salamolgin is in saying, Forest fan watching, enjoying life. Mate, you should be.
You should, yeah, enjoy
you should
it.
Be. I enjoy it for as long as it lasts. And if that's the whole season, they're going to end up in a European place because they're absolutely
Well, the way that
flying.
They're playing right now... if the season was to end and they were in a European spot, you couldn't take that away from them because they've deserved it.
100%. 100%. Yep. A team that might not finish in the European spots, Manchester City. That's now one.
My goodness.
Win in their last 11 games. And
against
I remember
Forest.
Sitting here a few weeks ago, and I think we had a question in the chat. And the question was, give me your one outrageous prediction for the season. I can't even remember what mine was. But your outrageous prediction for the season was... I don't think City are going to finish in the top four. And we all laughed at you, Sam.
Yeah, well, I don't know why you laugh at me. When
at
I
the minute, no one's laughing at you now. Oh my God, 1-11. But up to the 86th minute in this game, and Man United fans, you'll be well happy, obviously, right? Obviously, 2-1, Ahmad's the new Messiah. Everything's rosy in the Amarim Garden.
Unless you're Rashford
You've
or
won at Manchester City. What's not to like? Enjoy it. I'm not being negative about it. Enjoy it. But up to the 86th minute in this game, there's only one team winning it. And until Nunes comes flying in then on Ahmad, and then the game completely changes.
Okay. I take what you've just said. But
thanks.
But that suggests that Man City were good. They weren't.
No, both teams were crap.
They were not good. So it's not like, oh, they were going to win it and they deserved it. Mm. No, they weren't. It was... honestly, one of the worst games of football I've ever sat through.
The first half was turgid,
it was
doesn't it?
So bad. Yeah. And we got back from watching Max play and standing outside in the cold. And I was like, right, great. I'm going to sit here with my cup of tea and the chocolate out of my
Can't
oven
wait
calendar.
For the Manchester Derby.
And I'm really excited about the Manchester Derby because I love a derby, particularly when it's not got Spurs in it, because you can just enjoy it for what it is. No, it was dreadful. Man City were dreadful. Man United weren't great. It was just dreadful. And then, but you never felt, I never felt Man City were going to win it. Like, they never looked comfortable.
I'm with you. Andrew Yee says, yeah, you're right. City were crap too. Totally agree.
They were just both bad. So, going towards the back end of the game, Man City always have got a mistake in them defensively. Always. So, when Nunes does that, and he goes back, First of all, he leaves Edison short. Terrible. And he clearly knows. He's like, oh God, I've messed up.
I've got to make up for that.
I've got to fix it. Yeah. So he just goes in like a bull in a china shop.
It's a head rush, isn't
and
it?
Just
What's
goes
he
mad. And he What's lays he on the floor and he knows what he's done. And he just lays there like, yeah. Oh, I've made it worse.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when you give Manchester United, and particularly Bruno Fernandes, the opportunity to score a penalty, most of the time he's going to take it. So Manchester United, once they get that goal, there's only one side win in that game.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because the heads
I think
go.
You're right.
Man City's heads totally go. You see Pep, he's jumping around on
he
the
couldn't
touchline.
Believe Nunes done
like,
it, could he?
What are you
he
doing?
Couldn't believe it.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster. And they are not playing well. Even the Vardy old goal, I think De Bruyne sort of... It gets a massive loopy deflection, doesn't it, off of a Man United player.
It's lucky.
And Vardy was just there to pop it in. It was more than a slice of luck on that cross from De Bruyne. But you're right, you know, nothing really to shout about, again, from a Man City perspective. And
you're not buying them. Who are
you
going to buy?
No, you're not. You're not. I've still got Rico in, and I'm not convinced that I'll be playing him next week, to be honest with you.
Well, you might have to if there ain't no problem.
We've got to briefly talk about the Kyle Walker incident as well with Hoyland. What did you make of that?
Well, it's embarrassing if you're Kyle
it's
Walker.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
What are you doing?
It's pathetic.
You can't do that. I mean, that's literally... Hoyland just stands there and you fall over as if you've been shot.
Equally then, you don't go on Instagram and take the piss out of him.
Well, no, you don't. But that is the naivety of youth
there from Hoyland. He's had what? Did he even score in this game? No, it was Diallo, wasn't it? So Hoyland's had an okay game.
No, against, he's average.
He's been average. Okay, United have won one Manchester derby against a poor Man City side.
Yeah.
And Man City have just won the title with Kyle Walker as captain for the last four seasons.
Yeah.
You do not go on Instagram and call him out for it, I don't think. I just think Hoyland's just shown such naivety there.
I don't think you do either. I think the whole world...
Not defending what Walker did.
The whole world's watched it. The whole world knows that Walker's an idiot. You don't need to go and say it. It's just embarrassing. But... Yeah. I think from an FPL perspective, Manchester City, I'm just not touching them. Even Gvardiol, like, I know he gets the goal today, but the goals, they're just never going to keep a clean sheet. Like, so I'm not going to spend that level of budget when I can have Robinson instead. Robinson, by the way, I feel like has become my new, like, obsession. I don't know what is
one
about
good
him.
Game against Liverpool,
one good
10
game,
men.
And that's it. I've decided I'm in love with the brand. So I'm not going there. There's none of the attackers I want. They're all too much money and they all aren't returning for that budget. Mm. From a Manchester United perspective, I'm doubled up. I'd bench Dallow this week anyway because it was the derby and I thought, you know, you never really know what's happening in a derby. Dallow, I'm still not 100% sure I want to keep moving forward.
Okay.
But equally, it's just what it is. I'm going to hold for now. Bruno Fernandes is a bigger question, I think, because of the price point that he comes in at. Like, he gets the penalty today, gets me a couple of bonus points.
Disgusting.
So I'm happy.
Disgusting.
So I'm happy.
Disgusting.
So I'm happy. It's all right, dear.
Stop stroking my face.
Why are you so unhappy about the penalty? Is it the bonus points you're unhappy about?
Well, first of all, the penalty is like, it's a bit like the Spurs ones on Palmer last week. What are they doing?
No, I know.
It's just head rush. It's just not like it's a, like it.
No, silly.
You know, Diallo has been a little bit smarter than the Chelsea players were against Spurs. Because on the Spurs ones, Spurs just decided they were just going to foul them in the box. Whereas at least this one, Diallo's been quite clever. He's had a little look and he's like, this guy's going to rush in here and foul me. I'm just going to move the ball over there. Oh, yeah, he's fouled me. There we go. But it's still a head's gone, isn't it? But then it's the two bonus points. He was bloody awful, Bruno, today. What a terrible game. Missed loads of chances. But because everybody else was terrible, it's two bonus points. I just can't understand it.
But you've got to give bonus points to the best of the worst bunch, you know?
So bad.
So Bruno...
Anyway,
but,
I don't want to talk about him. But, Ahmed, though.
But, well, this is where I was going. So I went for Bruno a few weeks back, and I'm still pleased that I did that. It's worked out quite well, this experiment on Bruno Fernandes that I've been having over the last few weeks. But I do keep quite looking over my shoulder and going,
I
could just have you.
Yeah.
And you cost significantly less, and you're returning just as well.
That's a goal, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a goal.
Because obviously he gets the assist for the penalty because he wins it.
Yeah.
Because
he's
fouled. Yeah. Then he scores a lovely goal.
That's goal of the weekend for me. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant goal.
Lovely goal. So I'm looking at Ahmed and I'm kind of going,
You've got to stop calling him Ahmed. It's Ahmad, isn't it?
Whatever his name is. I like to call him Ahmed. He's my friend. I quite like him, right? So I could go over there and I could save myself a lot of money. And in saving myself a lot of money, I then have
get Isak.
I can then, or Jackson, or upgrade the forward line, do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that is something I'm thinking about.
Yeah. All right. I don't mind it.
Enjoy having Bruno in there. He's on pens and you get them quite a lot.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, I was super impressed with Ahmed. I thought, the game itself was a poor Manchester derby. Not a lot of quality at all until that goal. That run and goal from Ahmed was so, so good. So, yeah. So good. Quickly, then, because we didn't watch the game. Wasn't on TV here in the UK. Chelsea 2, Brentford 1. Mbeumo hurting ranks, left, right and centre. Hurting ranks, all those that sold him, including myself. But nothing for Palmer again in this game. Instead, it was Cucurella who got the goal and then got sent off. And Nicholas Jackson, who, from what I saw on Twitter, and I've only just seen stuff on Twitter, missed a couple of pretty gilt-edged chances before he then bagged his goal, which eventually turned out to be the winner. Given that if I look at the fixture ticker here, Chelsea are right at the top, away at Everton next, home to Fulham, Ipswich away, Palace away. So what's that? 3 away games in the next 4, but all are absolutely winnable. And then Bournemouth and Wolves at home in 21-22. You've got Palmer, but nobody else. What's your thoughts?
Well, you're quite right. Palmer and nobody else. And I'll be frank, not Thomas, just actual Frank.
Right.
I was very worried about this game.
Mm.
I was very, very worried because...
No Palmer captain for either of us either. Neither of us captain Palmer.
So after Salah... Well, I was going to say Salah blanking. It felt like a Salah blank an assist.
It felt like it, yeah.
So when Salah gets just an assist, I was like...
You're panicking then.
I'm starting to feel a bit sweaty and stressed. And then Saka blanks and I'm like, well, okay.
That's not quite so bad.
It's feeling all right. I've won over the Saka captainers, so that's okay. Then when Haaland blanks today, I'm like, okay, well... This is feeling all right, but I'm going to get absolutely smashed up by the Palmer captaincy.
Palmer's going to go mad here, isn't he?
And yeah. I don't have Enzo, and I
He's
don't
not
have
highly
Jackson.
Enzo. Jackson's but more of a hurt.
I know, but people like you and in my immediate mini league crews, people have been going to Enzo because we're okay. The people that take things seriously, right? And people have noticed
Why
that Enzo
do you do
is
that?
Good. What?
That makes me laugh, that.
What?
Why do you do that?
What?
Like Enzo had like a 4 or 5% ownership.
I know, but not in my mini leagues.
Yeah, but
And
I'm
not
like,
by people around me.
You did that last year with Jules. You're too worried about what, you know, one other player out of 10 million is doing. You've got to think about the overall game.
No, because I find...
Just because I've got him doesn't mean that... terrible that he's got an assist.
No, but I find that the way that I like to play FPL is... Like, I find it too overwhelming when my rank is where it is to think about moving that far forward. So all I think about right now is how I move the next couple of places in my mini leagues. And that, in doing that, by moving up, you know, 5 places in a mini league, that's probably 100k in rank. But 100k in rank feels a lot, whereas 5 places in a mini league feels achievable. Yeah. So when I look at my mini leagues and people have got Jackson and Enzo... And maybe they've got Augusto or a Cucurella or whoever it is in there, or Sanchez. I'm like, okay, well, I've only got Palmer and I haven't captained him. And my captain feels like a blank, even though he just got an assist. So by the back end of this game, I mean, you saw me. I was watching Spurs on the TV and I had the Chelsea game on SofaScore on the arm of my chair because I was so worried about what was going to happen in that one. So I feel like I've won, even though I haven't really won, because the Palmer captaincy is a blank and he dropped out the bonus points right out of the death. So that's...
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so your slides are probably wrong for later. So he drops out right at the death, so that's quite nice. Because again, that's rather than him getting 4, which he was originally predicted to get, he's got 2. Jackson gets the goal, but I feel quite lucky that he's not got more than that because he definitely had another couple of opportunities where he should have converted.
Yeah, did he get bonus? I think he did.
He got all 3, I think.
Yeah, despite some mischances. So.
Yeah, because Cucurella was on.
No, Mbeumo gets 3.
Oh, Mbeumo.
Well, let's give this page a quick refresh, and just in case it has changed. Chelsea 2, Brentford 1. So Mbeumo with the 27 BPS, so he'll get the 3. Madueke and Jackson with 2 each, by the way.
Yeah, because I think Cucurella was on for all 3 until he picked up the stupid red card right at the end.
Well,
and then,
yeah.
Of course, he's dropped out. And then Palmer's dropped out as well, because at one point, all 4 of the Chelsea players, I think, were on for... There were four Chelsea players on for two. So I feel like I've kind of dodged some Chelsea bullets today. But it's not making for comfortable watching of Chelsea. And, you know, you said all those weeks ago when we were talking about wildcarding and changing up our teams, it's all about avoiding the routes to pain.
Yep.
And I feel like Chelsea still remain a route to pain for me. And I need to really think about how I can fix that.
Yeah, because, listen, we've just talked about their fixtures and how good they are over the next 5 or 6 weeks. They could go top of the league next weekend. They're 2 points behind us and they play first. It's Everton on Sunday, 2 o'clock.
Yes.
Before we play you lot.
Yes. I mean, you have got a game in hand. Four.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, psychologically, it'd do a lot for Chelsea to be top of the league, right? 100%. Given that, what, you know, literally a fortnight ago, people are saying the league's over, Liverpool won it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Chelsea could be top of the league.
Yeah, no, totally. And I feel like I need some additional Chelsea coverage in there. What I can't decide yet is the easiest thing is just to get Enzo. That's the easiest route. I could just go either Bruno or...
Enzo or Ahmed right now?
Well, so again...
Or Rodgers.
So, again, but all of those are sensible conversations, yeah. Right? So I could just go Bruno to Diallo and just be like, okay, that's done. And in doing that, I've got the money to then go from João Pedro to Jackson.
Well, I'll tell you what, hold that thought, Sam. Hold that thought. And instead of doing it while we've got the Chelsea score up, why don't we go to your team? We'll do your team in just a second.
Okay.
Before we do, I just want to give a quick shout out to all of our Patreon supporters. Many of them are in this evening. So, guys, very nice FPLing with you this season and great FPLing with you over the weekend too. Good conversations in the Slack. Loved that today. As soon as the Mbeumo goal went in, I knew George would be straight in there with a... Told you should have kept him, Lee. Should have had one last dance of Mbeumo.
George.
Thank you, George, for that. Yes, thank you for that.
Doesn't always keep Flecken, though, does he? He's happy for you to get rid of him.
I think we're all happy to get rid of Flecken, let's be honest. The bit that done it for me on Flecken was he's got as many assists as clean sheets. I was like, I can't have this. I cannot have this guy in my
That's
team.
That's not a thing.
It's just he's now the butt of jokes. We cannot have Flecken in our teams anymore. So he's now gone. But we've got Simon Badette is in, Duncan Crawford, a whole host of the guys are in, and Andrew as well. So loads of our Patreon followers are here on a Sunday night as regulars. And guys, thank you for tuning in, as you always do, to FPL Family here on a Sunday night. As the guys do, you can join us over on patreon.com/FPL Family. Three different ways you can get involved. The $3, $5 and $10 tiers. At the $3 tier, you'll get access to the Slack that we always talk about, where all the different match day banter's going on, and George will be talking about one last dance with Mbeumo and all that sort of stuff.
If you want Brentford advice, George is great.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. As long as he's not saying to keep Flecken.
Well, he might be.
So you'll get Slack access, and you'll also get access to our Ohana podcast that comes out on a Thursday, usually as a preview to the game week. Usually comes out either Thursday night or Friday morning, but every single week we'll do that podcast. At the $5 tier, you'll get both of those things, but you'll also get entered into our monthly Manager of the Month competition, which is sponsored by the guys at Sleeper. And for those of you that have been playing it, know that the top three in each month will get a shirt of their choice. And if you're first, you will also get a gift voucher of your choice. Now, there are some managers that are really rinsing that this year. So I've already said, so Ruth Alabaster, who's one of our patrons, very, very good FPL player.
Yeah.
Lots of really great content from her in our Slack. She's got two shirts already.
Yeah.
We're in December and she's
Tracy's
won.
Tracy's the same.
Tracy's had a shirt, but she's had shirts in previous seasons when you have to come first. What I'm saying is this season, you can be in the top three. And I think Ruth won a month and then she came third last month. She's got a shirt for herself. I ordered her an Ajax third shirt for her husband the other day.
She's quite local to us as well. We could have delivered it in person.
We could have delivered it in person to Ruth. So listen, if you want to come and join us over at the $5 Manager of the Month tier, where the top three managers win shirts, it's on, guys. It's on. Trust me. And it's not too late to get involved with December. If you want to go and join us, patreon.com/FPL Family.
Month. So many deadlines.
December's a big month. It's not too late to get involved. You could be like Ruth. Be like Ruth and you could have...
Be more rude.
Shirts coming out your ears. I'd love to see her wardrobe at home. Loads of football shirts, left, right and centre.
Her wardrobe is sponsored by FPL Family.
It is, basically. Yeah, it is. And then if you want the $10 Zoom tier, then you get all those things. You get the Ohana podcast, you get the Slack, you get the competitions, the chance to win shirts, all that sort of stuff, as well as the opportunity to speak to Sam and I a couple of times a season as well. To talk about maybe you're playing your wild card. If you're just a bit stuck with your team, you just don't know where to go. We've even had conversations where people are just like, I've just had enough. I'm just not playing this game anymore. It's just, I hate it. And we're like, well, stick with it and you have a little reset and we have a bit of FPL therapy. in a bit of a therapy session with some of our patron followers. So patreon.com/FPL family. Links are in the description below. Go and check it out. Join us at one of those tiers. And whichever tier that you join, you'll get Slack access, No Harder podcasts. $5 will get you the competitions, and then $10 will get you the Zooms as well. So go check it out, as Duncan has, and as Simon has, and as Ruth has, and as Andrew has, and all of those that regularly join us here on a Sunday night. Right, Sam, let's get into your team. You're already starting to discuss what you might do for next week. But before we do that, talk us through your team.
Yeah, so it's changed even since that graphic, because, of course, Palmer dropped out of Zibuna's points. So he's only got two rather than four.
So that's the reason their scores are in orange and not red, because I had to do this. We came on literally as the last ball was kicked. We came on. So I was doing this about 5 minutes before the end.
Yes. So I'll go on live FPL so I can give you an actual... So, obviously...
Well, if Palmer ended on Palmer's... two, you'll be on 57 then, yeah?
Yes, dear. I was going to give you a rank update because obviously that will change that, won't it? So, sorry. So, live FPL has me currently at 714k. So, really nice green arrow.
714?
Yes.
Okay.
Why?
I do it 744 at 58 points.
But Palmer was captained a lot.
Oh, okay.
So people will have more than
They'll my lost 2 points. Yeah. Okay.
So 714, 847 to be precise.
Okay.
So it actually feels really, it feels really good. I mean, I liked my team for this week. I said a lot last week that I liked my team. I was looking at it. I liked it. There was a lot of home games in there.
And but even one still to go.
And even one still to go. Yeah. Yeah. Evan Nilsson still to come tomorrow against that West Ham defence. With the exception of Ait Nouri, I'm pretty happy with everybody. So Raya and Timber bringing in the clean sheets. Ait Nouri, you are dead to me. You are literally dead to me as far as I'm concerned. Lewis Hall, you are a hero. Very, very happy with the Lewis Hall haul. Palmer and Saka, to be honest, because I hadn't captained them, I'm sort of all right with them blanking. That makes me feel a bit better about having gone for Salah. Bruno Fernandes, Lewis Hall was the one I should have captained, but clearly I was never doing that. At the moment, Bruno Fernandes was the one I should have captained, and I did say I fancied him as a bit of a differential captain.
Yeah.
But as you said, was a little bit lucky. Solanke even chipping in with the assist. I can't help but feel a little bit annoyed though, Dominic, because when Spurs win 5-0 and you're the number nine, I kind of expect you to do a bit better.
Some points there.
João Pedro, I'm not even that bothered about. He's fine. He's doing his thing. Evan Nilsson might go mental. So to have a good return out of this lot, I feel like it's been a good week. I don't so much love my team for next week, though. There's a lot of away fixtures in there.
Yeah, me too.
But I have got two free transfers.
Have you?
Okay. Yeah, because I rolled my Motley crew this week.
All right. What are you thinking then? Ait Nouri out.
Yeah, briefly. I need to think about what I do. So either Ait Nouri may move to the bench and I might wait a week and then go for Manaz the week after. And then...
Might drop point two by then, Ait Nouri?
He might, but whatever. The other thing I might do with the two free transfers is to do Bruno to Ahmed, or however you want me to call him.
Yeah.
And then do João Pedro up to Jackson. And then
it
does mean then leaving Ait Nouri. But I'm benching Ait Nouri next week anyway because I want to play Dalot. So it's actually not the end of the world to do that. Or the other option is that I just do Ait Nouri to Robinson now and just...
Go with it.
Just go with it. And then worry about how I invest in Chelsea a little bit later. Because I don't think I've got enough... Maybe I have got enough money to go. No, I haven't got enough money to go from João Pedro to Jackson without a downgrade.
You need a sacrifice.
Yeah, Bruno would have to be sacrificed,
Yeah. Bruno to Ahmed doesn't feel too bad.
No, it doesn't. It feels all right. Yeah.
Chris Stevenson in the chat is saying, how do you see live rank updates? What website? Chris Stevenson, I can tell you, get over to the App Store and download the Fantasy Football Scout app is where you'll find that. They use an API into a website called livefpl.net. So livefpl.net is the website, but you can go and find your team live rank updated on the Fantasy Football Scout app. So go and search your app store, Google Play or iOS store, whatever you use. Fantasy Football Scout is the app where you can find that, mate. That's where you can find it. So, and overall, yeah, a sort of medium-sized green at the moment with Evan Nilsson still to play. So still could be a very good week.
Yeah, it's a big chunk out. It's another big chunk because I think good. That's... I'll tell you exactly how many percent that is, but it's a fair chunk off of my rank. So, I am happy. And then going into tomorrow night to still have Evan Nilsson to calm.
Happy days.
So it's a 16% rank change. So that's, yeah, that feels really nice.
Good.
So let's go into tomorrow night. Let's have an Evan Nilsson haul, please. Although if Evan Nilsson hauls Lee, that does mean we're guaranteed to lose in sleeper. I think we're going to lose in sleeper anyway. Well done, the general. But yeah, I would like an Evan Nilsson haul because if I can be, my target was 500k by Christmas.
Right.
And I'm getting closer.
Okay. Just seeing some rumours of news in the chat. I'm just going to check it on Twitter or X
to see
whether it's true or whether you guys are just on the wind up. He's gone. Russell Martin gone. Why do we not know?
Because Lee, it's two in a day. I feel sad for these people. It's right before Christmas. They've got a stack before
Southampton
Christmas.
Football Club have tweeted, "We can confirm that we've taken the difficult decision to part ways with our men's first team manager, Russell Martin."
I feel sad.
Why?
For him. Because...
he's rubbish.
It's Christmas. Where's the Christmas spirit? How are they going to afford Christmas now?
Sam, that first half an hour against Spurs was embarrassing.
We've sacked him. My
half
team
the stadium left.
I know. I still feel sad for him, though.
I don't.
What are you going to do now? They'll probably come out and smash you on Wednesday night.
Probably, yeah. Who knows? I don't know. But, yeah, he's... I said it last week, right? And I've captained against Southampton for, not this week, but for the previous 3 weeks. And the reason I kept captaining against them, because just kept making mistakes.
Yeah.
So many mistakes.
If you'd have had Son or Spurs player, say, you might have thought about it.
If I'd have had Solanke this week, I would have seriously considered it.
Yeah.
But it's only because you've got Salah at home and Palmer at home that probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
But those that did have Solanke, you got to have thought about it this week.
Yeah, I said there was loads of them I thought about this week. I
just
had six options.
Playing out from the back stuff. It's like I heard on a non-FPL football podcast during the week, somebody was saying, might have been an Athletic one, how he's doggedly sticking to this playing out from the back and trying to play football and almost like sacrificing Southampton as a football club in favour of his own career, right? Because if other suitors or other clubs are looking at him going, well, you know, at least he's got a good philosophy. You know, they're trying to do the right thing. Imagine if he was at our club and doing that with our players. That would be good. And it's almost like, I don't know, I feel like he was doing it to make himself look better rather than actually for the sake of Southampton.
I don't think he's got the players or the personnel.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I'm saying. So the players are not good enough. So change it.
No, but I don't think they're good. I don't think they're good enough to do anything.
Well, that's nonsense because they're obviously Premier League footballers. They're not good enough to play out from the back.
No, but
so change it. But instead of changing it, he's gone, no, I'm going to stick with this philosophy so I can show my future employers and other clubs that I can stick to this philosophy and I can make it work.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
That's what I think.
Sackings in a day. Blimey. What a weekend for Premier League.
It's been savage, isn't it? It's been savage. Anyway, yeah, Russell Martin, gone. Absolutely gone. Dunzo.
Oh, what time is it? They've been,
is there
everyone,
any more?
Well, no, everyone's just gone off. They've all probably gone, right, that's it for the night. And then Southampton do this. They all go, right, back on shift.
He had to go. It was embarrassing today.
Oh, but they could have waited till the morning.
Here's my team. 57-4, and I'm all out as well, so I'm done.
Oh, no Evan Nilsson.
So no Bournemouth and no West Ham players.
Green, though?
Small green, up to 541, but that's probably going to be a small red once tomorrow's done. It's what could have been, isn't it? It's what could have been.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't bring in Enzo and Trent, then, you know, not only am I not spending a hit, but I'm also got Mbeumo and I'm playing Hall. So what's that? That's a net over 30 points swing. And rather than 57 points, I could be on, you know, feasibly, that could be 85, 87 points, which would be an unbelievable week. Same as previous week, if I'd have captained Palmer for the Spurs collapse last week rather than Watkins,
that
could have been another 17 points. So that's net 50 odd points I'm down. Then if I don't bench Cunha like a muppet the week before for his 16 points, so that's a net, I'm like 66 points better off. Imagine being, rather than 969, I'm on 1,020, 1,030 points. Where am I then? I'm not at 541, I'm in top 100k probably. So it's just, I've made a series of just poor decisions over the last 3 weeks that, when I look at them in the cold light of day, have been 50-50 calls. And
I don't know that you would do much different though. Like, so sometimes in FPL we make decisions and then the next morning you wake up and you think, what on earth was I thinking?
Mm.
None of the decisions that you've made in the last few weeks are those.
Enzo and Trenton felt okay, right?
That's
felt
none, okay. None of the decisions you've made in the last few weeks were bad ones.
Not expecting Lewis Hall to get 15 points.
No one's expecting Lewis Hall to get 15 points. In fact, with Nick Pope not there, we're all thinking, should we even play Lewis Hall? Because, you know, will they keep a clean sheet? I think it's one of those, Lee. I don't think you can... I think it's incredibly frustrating. But I also don't think that you can... Like, I don't think you'd do it any differently if you were re-back there doing it again.
Yeah, yeah. Noel Brennan's in saying, sounds like you're a casual manager, Lee. I wouldn't say that, but, you know, I will take the time to understand the Assman chip, unlike most casual managers, and that will save everyone's season. Don't worry about it. So the double Arsenal defence is good. Gabriel, good. Eight Nori, dog shit. Isak, brilliant. So happy to have him over Watkins. And going forward, happy to have him. Cunha with the nine is good. Salah, captain. Yeah, okay. In the end, it was the right choice over Palmer, but, you know, could have been different, couldn't it? Could have been different. And then Enzo in with his what, sixth return, seventh return in his last four or five games?
He's
or
been
six
really
games.
Good.
Very, very good. Yeah, so very I'm happy good. To have him. So, yeah.
So what are you going to do then? You've made a load of changes now, so are you sticking...
Well, no, I'm getting rid of Eight Nori, aren't I? Yeah, so I'm getting rid of Eight Nori. I've got to keep an eye on what happens to Cunha, right? If Cunha gets suspended as well, then I've got, you know, even bigger problems, but... Like you, I looked at my team for next week. They're all away. They're all of them away.
Are they all of them?
They're all away. Well, this 11 I've got out here, they're all away. All reasonable looking away fixtures. Don't get me wrong. It's not terrible. But I'm kind of... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Apart from Salah, terrible fixture.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't remember, I don't mind
year's
Salah up against some of your, you know... Who'd be up against? Who was at left back today for you? Was it Udogie, was it?
Well, yeah, but he's injured now, so it'd be Spence, probably.
I'd fancy Salah against Spence. I know Spence played well today, but that's because every time he stepped out of defence, Southampton backed off and he looked great going forward. Up against the Salah and being pinned back, we'll see it's a different sort of challenge,
isn't it? We're hoping
it?
For an update midweek on Van de Ven, who may be back.
Don't rush him. Why are you going to do it again?
Might be back.
Do it all the time, Spurs.
Romero will not be back, but Van de Ven might be back.
Rush him back again.
Get
dare
him back.
You. I dare you to bring him back for Liverpool.
Well, get him back in. We need him back in.
You want Ballon d'Or Jota up against a half-fit Van de Ven who's got Weetabix hamstrings. I dare you to bring him back.
Can you just stop? Oh, did you see that other Van de Ven thing I shared in the Slack today?
What?
Can I have a little cuddly Van de Ven now with his face?
What?
Oh, it's brilliant. There's more things you can have with Van de Ven's face on. I'm very here for it.
Oh my God, seriously.
Like a little cuddly thing. You put Van de Ven's face on it.
Sounds absolutely atrocious.
Sounds incredible.
Anyway, 541k. Well and truly ensconced in the top million and floating around half a million now for the last few weeks. Can't seem to make that dent in that next rung up the ladder that I'm really looking for
this
with those 50-50
decisions.
The Assman chip is going to save the day. Assman will save the day. Sam, tell everybody what is coming up this week, please.
Well, it's going to actually be a little bit of a quieter week for us this week.
I say that, and it never is.
I do feel like I say that a lot. It won't be, because we've got football matches to play for our teams. So it'll just be, but in terms of... Actually, I've lied because I've got off the bench this week as well, which I've just remembered.
Yeah.
So I got off the bench on Tuesday. I'm doing it with
Oscar. Not quite at all.
No, it's busy. I'm doing it with Oscar. I've not done one with Oscar before. So I'm
have you not?
Looking, no. So I'm
award-winning FPL focal.
I'm going to introduce him as that.
You should. You definitely
I'm going to say.
That's embarrassing.
I'm going to. In my intro, that sorry, I'm going to say, Oscar. I'm going to say, welcome to Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Sam from FPL
Get
Family.
This camera.
Go,
I know it's a bit late in the day. I've got
he'll go, okay. I'm FPL Focal. And I'll go, award-winning FPL Focal.
Award-winning.
I think you'll find. Anyway, so I'm doing that on Tuesday with Oscar, Jules, and Kelly and I will be back with the official podcast on Thursday this week. I'm going to Spurs this week, probably twice this week. So that'll be quite busy. But then... We may or may not be here next Sunday. Because
predictions for the FPL Family Derby? Some football to be played. I understand that. We've got to play Southampton. You've got to play Man United. No. Still, predictions. Go on.
Who won Spurs?
Well done, Chelsea fans. You've just won the league.
Well, I can't sit here and say I predict anything other than my team will win.
Yeah, and I think my team will win.
Well, of
so,
course. So we're just going to have to agree.
To disagree.
I'm going to go to the game and leave you here. And then I'll come back and then we'll have a cuddle and we'll make up.
Maybe.
And then we'll stream together when we won't talk about that game. I think that's a rule we should have.
I think people will be tuning in specifically to see you and I talk about that game.
I think we should make a pact now that we won't speak about it.
All right. I feel like last few years it's been a tough place for us to go. I don't feel like
ever
being...
Well, last year was the VAR controversy.
Oh, that... why have you said that?
Well, it was.
Why have you said that? The Luis Diaz onside?
Yeah. Do you remember? We joined the gym.
I'm even more convinced we're going to win now because we'll want to banish that.
Why
hoodoo,
are you trying
won't
to stop me holding your hand?
I'm not. You keep stroking my face and holding my hand tonight and I don't really like it. I don't know why it's happening.
Because if you remember, we were watching that game. It was actually a good game, wasn't it? We were really enjoying it.
Yes, it was. VAR was
forget
shite.
Before that, it was a good game when we both said, we turned to each other and we went, that's the game ruined.
That's true, we did. It was a good game. It was a good game and that ruined the game.
And then we found it laughable by the end.
It was actually hilarious how bad the refereeing was in that game last year.
But
hilarious.
This year we won't watch it together.
No.
Because I feel like...
Great process, lads, Webby says.
I feel like there's too much.
Webby.
There's too much pressure on us. Like, people say, can you live stream during it? Absolutely not. Yeah. There is absolutely no chance that we're going to live stream during that game.
Robinson says, didn't Liverpool finish with nine men? Yeah, it was
yeah,
mad.
They did.
It was absolutely mad. Curtis Jones did a perfectly good tackle that just happened to clip the top of the ball and then looked bad, slowed down the VAR.
Oh, he was dangerous.
Oh, shut up. That's ridiculous. And then there was another red. I don't know what for.
So
awful.
We will maybe be here next Sunday. We will be here next Sunday night. Whatever happens, we'll be here next Sunday night. But we may not be speaking to each other.
We'll see.
We may just be directing things down the camera to you guys.
We'll see. All right, guys. Well, listen, enjoy the Carabao Cup games in the week if your team happens to be playing the Carabao
Come on, Spurs.
Cup. For all of our Ohana podcast patrons, we'll be back on Thursday previewing.
I think we should go early, Lee.
Okay.
Only because I can't go Thursday because I'm at the game. So we might even got to record for Wednesday night after the Liverpool game.
No problem. I feel like you're at Spurs a lot at the moment. We'll work around your Spurs schedule.
It's great,
don't worry.
Isn't it?
We'll work around your Spurs schedule.
I might not be there on Sunday. Depends if my uncle can come.
Okay. Well, we'll do it on Wednesday to fit your Spurs schedule. Don't worry, Sam.
People like hearing from me.
They do. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
They like it together.
True. Yeah. So we'll be back with another Ohana podcast for our patrons on Thursday. But for everybody else, we will see you this time next week where we will, maybe be talking, maybe not, maybe married, maybe not. We'll see how the FPL family derby goes. We'll see whether Luis Diaz can stay onside and the referees cannot be absolute crap. Good night, guys. Well done in game week 16 and we'll see you next week. Cheers.
Green arrows, everybody.